Good morning, Hope Church. What a pleasure and privilege for us to together meditate on God's word together. Over the lockdown, my son Malachi, who's 4 years old, happened to find this in a bush in our garden. Interesting, isn't it? Fascinating. It's a tiny bird who had made a nest, and it's really soft on the inside. The chicks have obviously hatched and flown away. And the story of these birds are interesting, aren't they? They lay their eggs, they make these beautiful, beautiful nests, really cozy on the inside. And once the eggs hatch, the mummy bird and the daddy bird brings its food every day. But then comes a time the mummy bird decides to make the nest uncomfortable. She starts taking all the soft padding out, makes it really uncomfortable for the little chick. And the little chick says, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You're making it really horrible for me." And there almost comes a day when the mummy bird begins to push this little chick out of the nest. And the little chick's brain goes nuts. "What are you doing? I thought you were for me. I thought you loved me. You're pushing me out of this nest." The mummy bird decides it's time for this little bird to move on and learn how to fly. Ladies and gentlemen, often in life, we have comfortable places, cozy little places, cozy little nests where we are stuck in. And we think that's where we want to be for the rest of our life. That's where we want to live and die. But then comes a message. It's time to move on. Something pushes us out of that comfort zone. The Bible is full of such situations. Sometimes these situations are good, where you're stuck in a good situation. And sometimes these situations are bad and you're still stuck in them. But the man by the pool of Siloam, he was unwell and he was stuck by that pool for so many years. Or the lame man by the gate Beautiful, where Peter and John go and say, "In the name of Jesus, stand up." This man was stuck by the gate for almost 40 years. Or think about the prodigal son. He was stuck in a pigsty, wasn't he? Stuck there thinking, "This is all I'm meant to be." Or you think of good times where Jesus multiplies the bread and the fishes, and the crowd come to crown him to say, "This is wonderful. You become our king and we live happily forever and ever and ever." But Jesus knows, if I choose to remain stuck in this situation, I will not accomplish that for which the Father has sent me. Or think of the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John say, "This is wonderful. Let's make a house here and we'll live here happily ever and ever." But Jesus knew that if I stay here, the plan of salvation for humanity will never materialize. I cannot be stuck in a position. I have to move on for that, for what God has called me. This morning, I want to speak to you on the topic, it's time to move on. I want you to look to another portion of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 2, where God specifically tells his people to move on. May I read to you Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 1 through to 3. "Then we turned back and set out towards the desert along the route to the Red Sea, as the Lord had directed me. For a long time, we made our way around the hill country of Seir. Then the Lord said to me, 'You have made your way around this hill country long enough. Now turn north.'" Very clear instructions. Now turn north. Hallelujah. If you look through the book of Deuteronomy and the history of the children of Israel, in chapter 1, they were stuck around a mount called Horeb. They went round and round and round and round. And then God says, "Come on, come on, come on. This is not where I called you to be. You're stuck around Horeb." You come to chapter 2, they're stuck around Seir. And then you read the history. They were stuck. They went round the wilderness for 40 long years. There was a pattern of getting stuck. Hallelujah. Isn't that true of our lives? We've got a pattern of getting stuck in different situations. For some of us, we are stuck in certain jobs. We are stuck in certain roles. Sometimes we are stuck in certain life situations. Sometimes we're stuck in certain narratives and we haven't moved on. Some of us, We're stuck in unhelpful relationships. The number of people I meet where they're stuck in domestic abuse. And the lady often says, this is all I know. I don't know what else is there. So I'm just going to live with what I've got. I'm stuck in this, even though I know it is bad for me. I'm just going to settle for it. We go round and round sometimes in life and make the same mistakes over and over again. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to do it again. And then I stumble at the same place over and over again. We go round and round in circles. Sometimes we're stuck in comfortable places like the little bird. I like this nest. It's a nice job. It's a nice role. It's a nice place. It's a nice situation. I want to live here forever and ever until there comes a push from the Almighty to say, son, daughter, actually, I've got plans for you. Hallelujah. I don't want you to stick here forever. It was good for then. Today's manna is going to stink tomorrow. It tastes good today, but tomorrow it's going to be rotten. And then you'll tell me, why didn't you move me on, Lord? Hallelujah. Change is so tough for us, whether it's a good situation or a bad situation. We are like the little bird. We just don't want to move on. I'd rather stay with what I'm comfortable. I'd rather walk around the same circle over and over again, like the bird in the nest. But the Lord wants the best for us. He wants to transform us. He wants to move us to the purpose for which he called us. So the question this morning is, what to do when the nest gets uncomfortable? How do I face the changes that God is bringing in my life? How do I respond when I am stuck in a cycle? I'm stuck in a rut. What must I do? The topic of the message is, it is time to move on. There are three points I want to bring to you that you might want to take home with you. The first one, you need to change your mindset. Chapter 1 and 21, God says to them, you've been round this mountain long enough. And now I need you to go and take possession of the land. And then he says to them, do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged. I need you to go and take the land. The Lord knew that the two single enemies that would stop you and me from accomplishing what God has for us is fear and discouragement. Fear and discouragement have a way of limiting our mindset, doesn't it? The fear of the unknown. What if it doesn't take off? What if it doesn't work out? What if I'm worse off? And discouragement is all those narratives of failure from the past when things didn't work out, when people said bad about us, when things didn't work out my way. All those narratives suddenly come alive. Did you know our mind is funny? It always focuses on the worst case scenario. I've got a bit of a cold. I wonder if it's coronavirus. And suddenly I start imagining, my breathing is getting difficult too. Maybe I need a ventilator soon. Do you know how your mind imagines the worst? Actually, there was nothing. It was just a sneeze. You just needed to shut the window. Sometimes we have a tendency to focus on all the negative things that happened in the past, don't we? We somehow, our brain oversteps or forgets all the wonderful things, but we focus on the few negatives and start magnifying it. And that becomes a limiting, debilitating mindset that is infested with fear and discouragement. Hallelujah. Which is why God says to them, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Hallelujah. Somehow these people have forgotten the miracles God did yesterday. He parted the Red Sea. He made manna come down from heaven. He brought water out of a rock. And then once the Lord asked him, have you noticed your shoes never wore out for the 40 years in the wilderness? How much have I done for you that you're focusing on a few failures and a few negative narratives that people set out for you? A mindset that lives in the fear of failure. Did you know Steve Jobs, the guy who founded Apple, when he first founded Apple, the story has it that he was doing well, but then there came a time when his own board got rid of him. He fell out with them. They got rid of him. He was unhappy, bitter, discouraged, and sad. He then goes on and establishes his own company. And then the story has it that while he was there, as unhappy and sad as he was, he developed new skills. He developed new abilities. And finally, he developed a new product that Apple desperately wanted. So Apple then goes and buys his company and hires him back as the CEO of Apple. And then Apple explodes. Did you know, in my moments, in your moments of seeming failure and discouragement, God is adding skills and abilities into you. He is adding new dimensions into your life, which you will need down the road to accomplish His purpose, the promises of God that are for you in the future. Why are you upset about seeming discouragements, seeming anxieties? The Lord is in you and with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thomas Edison, you know, the man who was responsible for tube lights and all kinds of inventions. There was a time in 1914 when his laboratory caught fire. 1 million worth of equipment. Everything blew up in flames. And this is what he said. The 67-year-old inventor stood there and said, "There is value in this disaster. All my mistakes are burnt up. And now I can start all over again." He said, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is to try one more time." Just because you failed in the past, just because you have a discouraging narrative, doesn't mean the future is uncertain for you. The future is bright. God is on your side. He is making your nest uncomfortable because He wants you to fly. He wants you to go on to the next stage of your life. He wants you to accomplish that for which He has called you. Hallelujah. Mary Ann Radmacher once said, "Courage does not always roar. Sometimes it is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, 'I will try again tomorrow.'" Let me say that again. Courage does not always roar. Sometimes it is the quiet voice at the end of the day saying, "I will try again tomorrow." Get up. It's time to move on, people of God. Accept that you've had some difficulties. Accept you've had some bad breaks. Accept you've had some bad failures. Accept you've had some bad ideas. Accept that sometimes you've got to work with some difficult people to get to where God wants you to get to. Hallelujah. But the point of the matter is that your failure doesn't define you. Don't allow a victim mentality to set in. You're not a victim. You're a victor because God has called you to be victorious. Hallelujah. Don't allow a self-pity mentality to set in. Change your mindset because God is on your side. Hallelujah. This failure, these difficulties do not define me. You know why? Because my God is a redeemer. That's what the people of Israel knew. From Israel, God redeemed them. What does that mean? When things are beyond repair, humanly speaking, you'll say it is a write-off. You'll say this is a debt I cannot pay back. But one thing I know, my God is a God who redeems those situations. Come on, come on. What reason do you have not to stand up today and respond to God? Hallelujah. You might say the opposition is formidable. You might say the odds are against me. You might say I can't see a way out. But our God is a waymaker, isn't He? He parts the Red Sea. There is nothing He cannot do. Just because it looks uncertain, just because there's change coming your way, just because there is fear coming around somewhere, just because there is a discouraging narrative doesn't mean God is not on your side. Like the people of Israel, you and I need to change our mindset and say, "Father, I want you to come and breathe into me right now." Hallelujah. Paul was the chief of sinners, wasn't he? He made mistakes. He fell out with his brothers. He could have walked around, hung his head in shame and guilt and all sorts of things. But in Philippians 3, he says, "Forgetting what is behind, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." Hallelujah. Don't dwell on the hurt. Don't dwell on the upset. Don't dwell on the division. Hallelujah. Don't dwell on things that are negative this morning. Stop living in the past. Stop looking behind. Look forward, because the message of the Lord is clear. It's time to move on. Change your mindset. Little bird, what are you worried about? Little bird, what are you worried about? Mommy is right next to you. Her wings are right next to you. And the Lord said to Moses, underneath are my everlasting arms. If you fall, I'm right there to catch you. It's time to get out of your nest. Change your mindset. Change your mindset. Embrace the change God is bringing your way. Fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of your faith. Hallelujah. You know, it says garbage in, garbage out. Stop feeding your mind garbage. Feed your mind with the word of God. Feed your mind with the things of God. Feed your mind with stories of hope. Feed your mind with stories of encouragement. And finally, can I say, in Romans it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing is anakinosis, which means the agent of renewal is the Holy Spirit. How do I transform myself? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent of renewal. If this morning you're stuck and you don't know how to break this mindset, all you need to do is invite the Holy Spirit in. Open your arms out and say, Holy Spirit, I know I'm stuck. I know you're pushing me out of my nest, but I want you to come and breathe into me and smash this victim mentality. Smash this fear. Smash this discouragement. I want to go on and take hold of that for which you have taken hold of me. So the first thing to do is change your mind. The second thing to do is change your mouth. Change my mind. Change my mouth. In Deuteronomy chapter 1 and 26 and 28, so God tells them this. That go on, take the land, I've given it to you. All sorts of things God tells them. And hear this out. These people refuse to go and take the land. Can you believe it? This is what God had to say to them. But you were unwilling to go up. Chapter 1 and 26. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say these people are stronger. They are taller than we are. Their cities are large. Their walls are up to the sky. Look at the narrative that is coming out of their mouth. What your mind thinks is what your mouth speaks, isn't it? They said, really, what they said is, we look like grasshoppers in front of these giants. They could put their giant feet on us and crush us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God had already given them the land. All they needed to do is just step out of that nest. He'd given them the wings and the strength, and those wings were going to carry them, but they just refused to jump off the edge. A negative mindset brings a mouth that is dripping with negativity. The problem is too big. The world is going down. Life is going to be tough now. The economy is bad right now. Hallelujah. My marks, I don't even know if I'm going to write an exam. I don't even have GCSE scores. My job is at risk. There are hardly any adverts out in the market. Everything is against me. I don't even have the qualifications. You can have a million negative narratives that can come out of your mouth that does not match what God has said about your life and my life. Did you know the greatest boxer in the world, Muhammad Ali? History has it, there are only two times he lost. And both these times, there was one common denominator. It was this. Just before the fight, at the press conference, he started the press conference by saying, now, if I lose this fight, this is what I'm going to do. He started with a negative proposition to say, if I lose this fight, this is what I'm going to do. When David went to fight Goliath, he never said, my stone is so big and Goliath is so big. My stone is so small and Goliath is so big. In fact, what he said is, my stone is so small, but the target is so big. There is no way I'm going to miss this, am I? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Matthew 9 and 29, the Lord said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Hallelujah. Expecting the best means getting words of faith out of your mouth. What the Lord said is what is going to happen. He said, I'm going to take possession of my mouth, of this land. I'm not going to speak myself out of this. I'm not going to allow myself to talk negatively. The Lord said to me earlier on this year, well, whilst there is an economic downturn in the world, I'm going to give you an economic upturn. That's what I'm confessing. The Lord promised me an economic upturn in a downturn. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me that God will give Hope Church a building. In fact, He'll give them two. Praise the Lord. That's what I am confessing. God can redeem any situation. He can make ways where there is no way. At the beginning of the year, if you remember, the Lord said to us, this is a year of unprecedented challenges, but there'll be miracle after miracle after miracle. I've held on to that, have you? Every time things got tough, this is the one thing I kept saying to the Lord. You said miracle after miracle after miracle. Where is my miracle, Lord? I'm waiting for it. And the Lord has been true to His word. Hallelujah. What has the Lord done for you? What are the words that are coming out of your mouth? Corona this, corona that, the economy is going down. No. Get words of faith out of your mouth. Stop living in the past. Stop living in fear. Start speaking words of faith. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My wife and I started praying about a financial need we had. We started saying to the Lord, Master, next year we can get a bank loan. But this year, if it has to be done, it'll be you. And we need it. So we were praying. And out of nowhere, half the money came. I can wait there and say, I'm going to wait. No. If the Lord gave me half, He'll give me the other half. And now I'm going to take a step of faith and start. Do you see what I mean? Hallelujah. If what I can achieve in my own strength is not a miracle, what I cannot achieve and only God can achieve, that is a place and a recipe for a miracle. So I'm going to stand in that place and say, Father, You said miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to pray for breakthrough. I'm going to pray for a shift in my workplace. I'm going to pray for a thaw in the relationship. I'm going to pray for things that only You can achieve, because that's what You have promised. Men of faith, stand up. Women of faith, stand up. The words that come out of your mouth counts. If you're a married couple, stop each other. Today, in fact, Bev and I kind of said again, do you remember last week we'd said that we'll catch each other when we speak negative words? We need to do that again. We've started that again. We want to say words of faith. We want to say what God is saying. We don't want to be a mouthpiece of the enemy. It's the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. My God comes to build. He comes to redeem. He comes to make ways. He comes to save. Hallelujah. People of God, be mouthpieces of God. Psalm 71 and 8 says, my mouth is filled with Your praise, declaring Your splendor all day long. Fill your mouth with praise. You know why? When you fill your mouth with praise, you don't fill it with negativity. If you leave it empty, the enemy will fill it. If you choose to fill it, hallelujah, declare the praises of God. Declare wonderful testimonies of God. The other morning I came down, early in the morning I sat and read through my prayer diary. I was reading through things in 2019 and I thought, wow, if you don't have a prayer diary, you need one. You need to start writing down what God is doing for you. Fill your mouth with the wonders of God. Fill your mouth when you meet someone else. Don't defame someone else's character. Start declaring the character of God. Do you know how wonderful my God is? My God is faithful. My God is righteous. My God is good. My God is kind. He's the kindest person I know. Fill your mouth with words of praise, words of wonder, words of that declare the character of God. And when you do that, hallelujah, hallelujah, your spirit aligns with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Your spirit aligns with your Spirit of God, and something starts to happen in your body physically. When I change my mind and I change my mouth, my body and my being starts to move and shift into the direction God has for you and for me. People of God, I know the Holy Spirit is all around you right now. He's smashing mindsets. He's shining the light of God upon dark areas into your life. And I need you to respond now. Say, Lord, words of faith, words of faith, words of faith. Here I am. Send me. Where Your presence is, that's where I want to go. Man has no hold over my life. So here I am. Time to move on. change your mindset, change your mouth, and the third thing to do, move on. Move on, move on. In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and 3, the Lord says just simple things to them. Now turn north. Three words, very simple. You've gone round this mountain long enough, now turn north. You might say, better the devil I know. These are people in the industry I know. These are people I know. This is the boss I know. It's not good, but I'm just going to hang around there. I know where the watering holes are. I know where the green pastures are. But is this where God called you to be? I don't know. People of God, stand up. Stand up. Don't settle for little. Hallelujah. When you change your mindset and align it to the Holy Spirit, when you change your mouth and make faith, words of faith come out of your mouth, your being starts responding and it starts moving into a direction that God has for me and for you. Praise the Lord. God has a purpose upon our life. Einstein once said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's time for some of us to change our relationships. It's time for some of us to change our directions. It's time for some of us to look north and say, Father, what do you want me to do? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's the story of a duke in Belgium. His name was Edward. There was only one problem with the man. He was very fat. He ate a lot. And he was grossly overweight. And his younger brother, Edward, once led a coup against Reynold. And he overthrew Reynold. And then this is what Edward did. Edward didn't kill his brother. He built a small room in the castle. A really comfortable room with lots of windows and a normal sized door. And there were no locks anywhere. And he said, you're free. The only problem was Reynold's size. Reynold couldn't get out of that normal sized door. And his brother said, to regain your freedom, all you need to do is stop eating and getting out of that door. But what Edward did is every day he plied Reynold with brilliant food. You name it, he gave Reynold. Reynold kept eating and eating and eating. Reynold was a captive of his own diet. He was a prisoner of his own bad choices and bad behavior. The minute Reynold decided to stop eating that junk, he could walk out of that door. This morning, some of us need to make big decisions. Hallelujah. Stop eating junk. Stop feeding your mind with junk. Start deleting WhatsApp messages at source. Don't even open them. Stop focusing on coronavirus. Stop talking about it. Start talking about the things of God. Start feeding yourself with the things and the purposes of God. Start changing your behavior. If it doesn't align with the word of God, say, it's going to end today. I don't want it no more. If that relationship doesn't align with the word of God, I'm chopping it out of my life. I am called for a purpose. And I've heard the word of the Lord say to me, it's time to move on. And I'm going to start taking responsibility. You know, the Lord says, you have gone around this mountain too long. He doesn't say Moses did it and those people made you do it. You did it. I did it. I need to smell the coffee and say, I have nobody to blame for this fiasco but me. The moment I take responsibility for my failure, change begins to happen. You know why? Because I'm repenting. I'm repenting. I'm saying to the Lord, I'm really sorry. I am responsible. I have nobody else to blame. I'm willing to turn. I'm willing to change my behavior. So when the Lord said turn north, I just put into the Google Maps, what's north of Mount Seir? Guess what it was? It was Jerusalem. When the Lord said, turn north, he was telling the people of God, I want you to look to me. I want you to turn and look to me. I want you to stop living to please people. I want you to stop living to please the neighbors. I want you to start living to please me. I want you to be prepared to take some risks. I want you to embrace the unknown. If I'm bringing your change your way, come on, embrace it, because I'm going to walk you through it. Hallelujah. I need you to shut up. Sometimes you talk too much. I need you to shut up. I just need you to shut up. I need, if you've got nothing to say that is worthwhile, tell yourself, I'm not going to talk. I'm going to shut up. I want to speak words of faith. Hallelujah. I am prepared to change my behavior. If God is bringing change your way, If God is making your nest uncomfortable, people of God, I have a message for you. It's time to move on. Stop fighting God. Give in to the Lord. Stand up today and say, Father, I want you to brood over my mind. I want you to change my mouth. And I'm willing to take responsibility to change my behavior. Praise the Lord. At the beginning of the pandemic, another thing the Lord said to me, he said, I am brooding over planet Earth like a chicken broods over its eggs. The Lord said to me, I am brooding over your streets. I'm brooding over your household. I'm brooding over you. I'm brooding over your children. I'm hatching eggs. I'm hatching dreams. I'm hatching purpose. I'm hatching destiny. People of God, I believe the Holy Spirit is thick over planet Earth like never before. The Holy Spirit is brooding over you like never before to hatch dreams, hatch purpose, hatch destiny. Stop fighting and start receiving and say, Father, I'm prepared for change. Hallelujah. If he's pushing you out of the mother's womb, he's pushing you into a world of unlimited possibilities. Embrace it and stand up and say, Father, here I am. Let me end with this story. It was World War I. An American airman took off from Saudi Arabia. And while he took off, little did he know that a large rat had crawled into his cockpit. Whilst he was flying, the airman became aware of the rat's presence, and it was gnawing. He could hear this gnawing sound behind him, and he immediately knew this is trouble. This is trouble. He could gnaw through some of the wires, and that'll be the end of me. But there was one thing the airman knew, that rats cannot survive in high altitudes. So what he did, he took his plane upwards. He pointed his nose into the sky and started flying upwards. And when it reached the high altitudes, after a while, the gnawing stopped. He kept flying. And then when he landed back down, he found a dead rat back in his cockpit. People of God, hallelujah. There are things knowing me, knowing you today. There's only one solution. Point your nose upwards to God. Turn north to Jerusalem. Turn to God. If you know nothing else, if you get nothing else out of the preach today, the only thing I want you to take is I'm going to turn my eyes to God. I'm going to desperately, desperately turn myself to God. I'm going to meditate on his word. I'm going to discipline myself to find time to spend with the Lord. Hallelujah. But somehow I'm going to turn my life towards heaven. I'm going to make sure these gnawing rats are gone. The minute I turn my eyes to God, the rats have got to go. People of God, are you willing to accept the change God is bringing your way? Are you willing to embrace the discomfort God is bringing your way? Are you prepared to fly into the heights he has called you to fly into? Change your mind. Change your mouth. Move on. Change your mind. Change your mouth, move on. If you're not a Christian and you're listening to this message this morning, may I invite you to look to Jesus. Turn your life heavenward. Invite Jesus Christ into your life. If you're stuck, if you do not know which way your life is heading, you really, really need to just invite Jesus into your life this morning. If you contact Mark, who's the pastor of Hope Church, at the end of this broadcast, I'm sure Mark will get in touch with you and he will talk you through. But this morning is your opportunity to receive Jesus into your heart and say, Father, I want you. For the rest of us, may I challenge you to move on. This is a year of miracle after miracle after miracle. This is a year where the Holy Spirit is brooding over you, your household, your street, and your nation. This is a year of change. This is a year where lots of things will turn around. Don't be panicked. Don't let fear grip your heart. Don't be discouraged. But know that the message of the Lord to you and to me, it is time to move on. Would you close your eyes with me and let me pray for you? Father, we receive your message loud and clear. Sometimes you make our nest uncomfortable. Sometimes we don't willingly go, and so you make it uncomfortable. But today we just want to stand under an open heaven and say, Father, come have your way in us. We're willing to change our mind, change our mouth, and we're willing to change our behavior. We want you to accomplish that for which you have taken hold of us. I want to thank you that right now you are doing miracles in different homes. You are breaking mindsets that the enemy has held captive. Right now, in the name of Jesus, receive freedom in your mind. The debilitating fear, I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, I speak the words of faith into your life. As you prepare, as you open your arms to God, I know the Holy Spirit is brooding over you now. May He hatch the purposes of God. May He hatch dreams. May He hatch destiny in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. People of God, it's time to move on. God bless you.